Now, I don't know about you, but I find this whole Elon Musk Twitter debacle fascinating. And I'm by no means a fan of Twitter, but I am a fan of free speech, and I know you guys are too. Now, for any of you who are already following this story, you'll know that Musk already owns 10% of Twitter. And now he's going for a hostile takeover, and he wants it all. And he's put the money on the table. And he wants to buy the whole kit and caboodle for $43 billion American dollars. Yes, this is true. This is true. And this is only 10% of his fortune. This guy is the richest man in the world. He started PayPal, Tesla cars, with this SpaceX thing he wants to colonize Mars. I mean, whatever you think about this guy, he knows about branding. He knows how to fucking make money. I mean, this guy sold PayPal to eBay in 2002 for $1.5 billion. I mean, that's not fucking chump change. And now this guy is saying that he wants to bring free speech back to Twitter. Because at the moment, this is a platform where if you say one thing out of line, whether that's vote fixing, COVID, the war in Russia, whatever, they'll fucking ban you forever. I mean, these guys are so powerful that they will block the President of the United States. Whatever you think of a former President of the United States, these guys are powerful enough to block them. Fuck. But apparently, they don't want to sell it to them. Because, I mean, it shows how much these people want their grasp on locking down anti-free speech. They don't want to fuck us up. They don't want free speech. I know, it's fucked up, but that's what we're going to talk about on this episode of Getting to Know the Dead. And welcome to another episode of Getting to Know the Dead. And I am your host, Deadbug. And, why thank you. Thank you very much. And happy Easter. Whether you celebrate it or not, happy Easter. And yeah, so what? Most of us get Sunday off anyways. But remember the times when Easter used to mean something, where we got Good Friday off, and you got Monday off, and they had all the Easter Bunny specials? Those were the days. I loved it, scrambling around with my brothers and sisters for Easter eggs, and you'd stuff so much down your throat you fucking puke. Those were good times. The only fucked up thing is my parents used to make us all go to church. And the priest really went for it on Easter Sunday. It was fucking, it's like for him, for a priest, Easter is like the playoffs in the NHL. He would just fucking go for it. He would drag the fucking service out, really fucking get dramatic and stuff.
And Hezekiah begot Samuel, and Samuel begot Hezekiah.
But it was still good, really good. Easter, not church. Now anyhow, it's back to this Twitter thing. So I read something funny. I read that all the Twitter employees are terrified of Elon Musk owning it and opening it up to everybody saying what they want again, because apparently Twitter is a safe place. They've worked hard over the years and they spent tons of money to make Twitter a safe place, and now all these people who work there are terrified. what the fuck does safe place mean? Every time I get a strike off of YouTube, they say the same thing.
I hope you understand we want to keep YouTube a safe place.
From what? The word rape, sexual assault, fucking murder? You know, these things aren't going to go away just because you ban the word. And how can you protect some of these people if they don't want to protect themselves? They already went through 4 hard warnings before they clicked play and finally saw the content. And these things are part of real life, things that we will eventually experience directly or indirectly. It's like, what the fuck at what point did humanity become so, all these pussies are apparently terrified, they're all hiding behind the fucking desk. Now, they figure Twitter aren't gonna sell. Because they're the grass, they wanna keep their grass on controlling their narrative. So they'll turn down all this money. And Musk is paying well above and beyond what the company's worth. And don't forget, they have shareholders to answer to if they turn it down. And shareholders are shareholders, whatever their persuasion, liberal, conservative, extremist. They want to make fucking money. They don't want to lose money. And Twitter is dying. It's going fucking down because tons of people are deserting it because they just, fuck that, they just don't need the bullshit. I mean, I think the most liberal of people are getting sick of this groupthink, and Twitter are going to have to answer to these shareholders, because if they turn it down, apparently it is a fucking very slow death for Twitter. It's just going to keep going down. Because these platforms, apparently once they start going down, They're like one of those Boeing 737 Maxes. They go straight down. They don't correct themselves. There's no second chance. That's what happened to MySpace, baby. Man, these chumps are going right down. So there's a chance whether these shareholders like Musk or not, they may demand that they take the offer. And if they don't, well, analysts say that it's suicide. It'll be really interesting. And now Musk already says that he has a backup plan.
So many people think he's going to start his own platform. Because for him, he said it's not about money. He doesn't fucking care. But he's really smart because they figure if he does buy it, all those people who left it will come back on board. And, you know, all those fucking liberal pussies that say, well, we're going to leave it. If Elon Musk buys it, we're leaving. We're leaving Twitter. It won't fucking happen. It's like all those actors, American actors, who said they were going, they're going to move to Canada. If Trump became president, not fucking one of them did. And so they figure he's smart, that if he buys it and all these people come back, the stock is going to fucking shoot up. It's going to skyrocket. So he's wise there. So even though he's overpaying for it, you know, but it's whether they're going to go for it. I personally don't think so. I think these people would chop off their own fucking arms and legs to hold on to their little piece of the pie. And that pie is fucking their own narrative, their own reality, their own truth. Now, I was reading this article where it said a lot of these CEOs, including the ex-CEO of Google, the head of YouTube, Susan W., that their family, you know, the great-grandparents or whatever, were in the Holocaust. And they were persecuted by the Nazis with all the burning of the books and all that. So because they have that background, they figure that they know what persecution is. And that they know better than anybody. And they're going to make sure they tell us all the truth. They know the truth better than anybody. And they're the purveyors of it. And it's gone to their heads. And they've almost become like deities or something. Like these soothsayers who fucking know everything. And we're just the stupid people. And I believe it. I honestly fucking believe it. Especially the way Susan W. treats YouTube. She's now taking down any video that makes light of the Russian-Ukraine conflict. She's taken down whole channels, apparently. Anybody who tries to give a balanced opinion, forget about it. You're gone. She'll fucking chop you off at the knees. Same with COVID and medical information. And you know who are making these decisions? Bunch of 20-year-old kids. I mean, look at Jack Dorsey, the former CEO of Twitter. He looks like fucking Nostradamus, doesn't he? I mean, he just thinks he's just, you know, I'm teaching, I'm instilling my knowledge on you. It'd be interesting, you know, I was saying that if YouTube, it'd be interesting if, remember with the whistleblower who came out of Facebook, it'd be interesting if there was a whistleblower in YouTube, and you would see, because she was just interviewed on some chump's channel. This is the CEO of YouTube. And she says she doesn't shadow ban channels, and she denied everything. She didn't answer any of the questions, and this guy was so light in the balls that he didn't fucking ask her any hard-hitting questions, because that's what she does. She usually gets fucking transgender people or cripples or blind people to interview her, and, you know, they clearly don't fucking see the truth. Because, you know, she's promoting their channel. She's giving them a voice, so they're just so overwhelmed by this, oh, the great God of Susan W. is helping me in my channel. You know, they're on her side. You know, and I'm not blaming them for it either. This isn't an anti, you know, trans thing or an anti-blind thing. Because I think one time a chick interviewed her and she was fucking blind. And she was just fucking gushing. She was just like, oh my God, I'm interviewing Susan. You know, and it's like, maybe if I were fucking reaping the rewards of Susan, maybe I wouldn't want to rock the boat either. But it'd be good to see a whistleblower come out and just, like I said, say that everything that she said is a fucking lie. We shadow ban people. We pick on people, we target channels, we, you know, and just fucking blow away everything she says. But I doubt it, though. Like I said, they're all too light in the balls. You see some of these fuckers, they're all 20 years old, they probably live 10 to an apartment, spend all day sucking each other off in the bathroom, and then all go out for soy lattes together, bragging they work at YouTube. But we'll see what happens, we'll see what happens. Elon Musk, Twitter. Is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? Or do you give a fuck? But I think you should give a fuck, liberal, conservative. I think you should. Now, anybody read the story about this kid in California? This kid with autism who disappeared for 2 years? And his name is Connor Jack Oswald. For me, that's fucking weird. Like, you have a kid who's got autism. And, hey, let's name him Connor Jack. Like, that's one word. Connor Jack Oswald. I don't know, like, Oswald's his last name. But I don't know, like, the Connor Jack, is that some sort of, like, sports star or something that I'm missing? It's fucked up for me. It's just like, let's give this kid one more hindrance in his life. But anyways, this autistic kid, he went missing 2.5 years ago in California. And they have found him 800 miles away in Utah.
Shut up!
No, I'm not kidding. 800 miles away, they found him sleeping in front of a shop. And apparently this kid had been homeless. And the parents had even moved back to Utah, where his place of birth, because they wanted to, you know, if that's where he was going to return, I guess like a homing pigeon or something, they wanted to be there. And the kid's now 19. He was found shivering and cold by the sheriff. And they figured he'd been out in the streets. And no one knows what fucking happened. They identified him by this birthmark. And they don't know what's he been doing 2.5 years. No one knows. This kid has just fucking shown up. And I mean, the parents are happy because when the parents got a phone call, they thought he was going to be dead. They thought it was the police phoning to say, you know, your son's dead. And Connor Jack, I still a fucked up name, is alive. And they're just glad he's back, but they don't know what he was doing for 2.5 years. And this kid don't look fucked up. I mean, he looks like a normal, good-looking kid.
But who knows? Maybe he's fucked up and can't even wipe his own ass. You don't know unless you meet him.
Now, I think I touched upon this in a previous episode, but I'm going to do it again because it's so fascinating. The first prisoner to be executed in South Carolina in 10 years has picked the firing squad over the electric chair. So this is the first prisoner to be executed in South Carolina for more than 10 years has chosen to die by firing squad rather than the electric chair. Richard Bernard Moore, 57, is also the first inmate in the U.S. state
to select his execution method
after the law was enacted last year, where I guess you can pick the way you want to die, like you pick it off a menu. You face three prisoner workers with rifles or the electric chair.
I guess hanging and lethal injection aren't in the equation in that state. Well, because it doesn't say. So this guy spent over 20 years on death row for the convenience store shooting of one James Mahoney.
And his execution is scheduled on the 29th of April, so everybody stay tuned.
Maybe it'll be one of those on-demand pay TV events.
That would be funny. That would be interesting.
Would you watch it?
I don't know. Maybe I would out of curiosity. I guess it depends on how heinous the crime. This is interesting. I think I would probably pick the firing squad myself over the electric chair, because I heard the electric chair, you fucking piss and shit yourself, which is fucking embarrassing. Real embarrassing. I had a dream the other night that I shit myself. A weird dream. I don't want to get into it. But I were out in some fucking holiday resort, and I were wearing white Y-front underwears, and I were walking around the resort, and someone pointed out that I shit myself. And then I fucking stole a tablecloth off of a table in front of a mall that was advertising perfumes, and I wrapped myself up in this red velour tablecloth, and I were running to try to get back to my hotel, and I was taking all the side alleys.
And then, to escape this group of pretty girls who were coming in my direction, I jumped this fence. And it was like a demolition site, and this bulldozer started chasing me, trying to run me over, and I was running, and everything was crumbling all around me, crumbling down. And, you know, I'd shit myself, which makes it even harder to try to run away, because you're trying to protect your dignity. Then I climbed this other fence, and then there was this girl standing there, and she looked really hot. But when she started talking, she had a guy's voice.
What are you doing here?
And she asked me what I was doing in a very authoritative voice. And I said, well, I'm trying to get back to my hotel. And then she told me, he told me, well, you're wearing the one of our tablecloths. You got to give it back. And I was saying, listen, I can't explain why, but I need to get back to my hotel. And then she said, well, I'll help you get back what your hotel called. And then I realized that I'd forgot the name of the hotel. And then I didn't even know where I was, and I had these shitty underwears. A fucked up dream. I woke up too. I woke up about 3 o'clock. I couldn't get back to sleep. I was traumatized by it. But yeah, so I don't think I'd do the electric chair because I wouldn't want to have shitty underwears or piss myself. It'd be embarrassing, especially people watching as well, you know. But then, that's never going to happen to me. I mean, knock on wood, I'm never going to be on death row.
But dreams, or nightmares in this case, that can be bizarre. I mean, what makes us dream these things that we do or have the nightmares? I had this friend, his name was Dean Barton, and he were an Arnold Schwarzenegger fucking nut. He were his biggest fan. This was in the early 80s. And he was into weightlifting and everything, and he read Arnold Schwarzenegger's book. And he used to watch this weightlifting documentary called Stay Hungry because he were like a fucking weightlifting fanatic. He were on like special diets and shakes. And then once he told me he had a dream that he came into his house. He lived with his parents because he was still a kid. He came into his house and Arnold Schwarzenegger was standing there naked and he had a boner and it was covered with shit. And he looked at my friend and he smiled and he said, "Stay hungry, little buddy." And my friend Dean, he shot out of bed. He was in a cold sweat. And after that, he never lifted weights again. Never watched an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. He fucking hated him. And, you know, he made me swear on my life that I wouldn't tell anybody. And, of course, I told everybody. And that was a big joke. Everybody who would see him would go, "Stay hungry, little buddy." And it traumatized him. I think he weighs like about a deuce and a half now. Like, I probably changed. The whole dream changed his life. He became a big fat pig. All because of Arnold Schwarzenegger with his shit-covered boner saying, "Stay hungry, little buddy." You know, dreams are powerful. Anybody watching this Johnny Depp versus Amber Heard libel trial? I know it's on YouTube. I mean, I don't want to get too much into it, but I've been watching it just a little bit. You know, like it pops up and I'll click on it. And really funny. Really weird funny. Like it's really fucking like Johnny Depp's just sitting there chewing gum, staring at his feet. And then Amber Heard, you know, I heard she were a bit of a skank. I can't say for sure. But she's got her hair all done up like she's like a Swiss Miss, like a nun or something. And she's wearing these power suits and it's really fucked up. So false. So staged. And I'm thinking to myself, is anybody buying into this bullshit? And they were interviewing the psychologist who saw them together as a couple. And they said that they both partook in mutual abuse. Like they both beat each other up and stuff. She'd be in the meetings and she said it was hard to talk over Amber Heard because Johnny Depp would not be able to talk over because she talked in it. The way she talks is like a jackhammer. She wouldn't let anybody else say a single word. She would just talk over them, lightning fast, interrupting them. Well, like a jackhammer. This is the sound of a jackhammer. This is how Amber Heard talks, apparently. "I don't care how good looking you are, if you talk like this, we cannot have a relationship."
Shut up!
It's true. And no one, including the psychiatrist, could cut her off. She just fucking goes, she talks over you, she interrupts. Johnny Depp would never be able to say anything. And this woman seemed quite neutral, but this is just her opinion as an expert. What a fucking bitch. Poor Johnny. You know, I don't know what their relationship entailed or whatever, but fuck. I mean, I think he got out of there lightly. He should just fucking walk away and, you know, good luck. I think Elon Musk was nailing her, wasn't he? I think he's going to be at the trial as well. It shows the entertainment world is all connected. You know, and some people are just not meant to be with each other. They push each other's buttons. I don't know if you've ever been in a relationship. I know I have. Where someone, whatever they say, fucking annoys you. You just have to bite your tongue. And then, you know, and then after the sex starts wearing off a bit and they start saying this stuff, there's nothing to keep you there. You just shut the fuck up, you know, and they're just not meant to. So I guess they're better off apart, but their relationship is certainly dragging on in front of the world. And they've had some good witnesses, too. Another reason to watch it, one of Johnny Depp's best friends, this Isaac Barok, who's been like as a friend since the early 80s or something. And he testified, and it was powerful stuff. He broke down in tears. I'll let you have a listen to it.
"I'm not angry at anybody. I want the best for her to take her responsibility, heal and move on and for Johnny, you know, his family has been completely wrecked by all of this stuff, and it's not fair, it's not right what she did and what happened for so many people to get affected from this. It's insane."
And Mr. Baruch,
this how this happened.
And Mr. Baruch, if in fact
She's telling the truth. And if, in fact, Mr. Depp, who has engaged in enormous rage and domestic abuse and violence of Amber over a period of time that you wouldn't know about, then maybe it's time for him to take responsibility, don't you think?
Objection, Your Honor.
What's the objection?
Speculation. Lack of foundation. Relevance.
Speculation.
Now here is where, if I were the friend of Johnny Depp, I would just say to this lawyer, shut the fuck up.
I didn't ask a question that launched that.
I'm going to sustain the objection.
Okay, right, you don't. I'll ask this. Okay. Mr. Baruch, you don't know whether Mr. Depp has committed domestic violence of Amber Heard, do you?
I never witnessed. I never saw or witnessed whatever type of claim that is being said.
But this guy, I guess he's a good friend. He started getting really emotional. A little too emotional for my liking. I mean, my friends wouldn't get all emotional like that, but I guess he's old school. But it's an interesting trial. I mean, Johnny Depp's a movie star. I don't know what Amber Heard is, but either way, you're seeing them out of their natural habitat. They can't really control the situation like they can in Hollywood and the interviews and stuff. I recommend you check it out. Now here's an interesting story, the last one I'm going to talk about. But in a survey in England, because that's where I live, 15,000 teachers were interviewed, and they revealed, well, they took this survey, that 72% of them had experienced misogyny in the school. Now, although this is England, I'm sure that this could be representative of all the Western world, I think, because we're not that different. And they figure this is from the new incel culture. Now, I never knew what the word incel meant, but when I looked it up, it's involuntary celibacy. Like, you want to get laid, but you can't. And they figure because the whole landscape of dating and everything else has changed, that all these kids, these boys, are bitter because they're not getting laid. You know, and I find that hard to believe. I was talking to my neighbor, and she told me that her daughter no longer wants to be known as Sandra. She wants to be called Tom. And she's a boy now. And that everybody calls her Tom now. And she's known, or he's known as Tom at school. Even the teachers have to call her Tom. And, you know, my neighbor's perplexed by it. She doesn't know what to fucking do. The kid's like 12 years old. And she said all of her daughter's friends are guys who are now girls, or girls who are now guys, or the trans. And she says she's totally fucking confused by it, but she's, you know, she figures it's from TikTok. It's just like, it must be really fucking difficult if you're just a boy who wants to get laid, you know? Different from the high school days when I were a kid, because, I mean, you know, I couldn't avoid getting laid. I mean, it's just the women are throwing themselves at you, but now I guess everybody has different priorities. And kids are just getting bitter. All these guys are just getting bitter because they all have this repressed sexual angst. I mean, all you have to do is look at the YouTube staff and see that it's a brand new world order. I mean, the guys look like bitches. And the women, you know, some of them are still hot, but they don't look like they're interested in guys, that's for sure. And like I said, these guys just look fucking lost. You know, because I think there's something. If you're a guy and you're not getting laid, I mean, there's something about your balls shrink up. I think if you don't use them, you lose them, that sort of thing. You know, and it all comes back to what I say about, you know, sitting down to take a piss. You know, my grandmother always used to say, never trust a man who sits down to take a piss. I guess now everybody's sitting down to take a piss. But who knows? It's a mystery. Humanity is changing. And it's not just the new generation. I mean, look at fucking Will Smith and his wife fucking humiliating him. I mean, holy fuck. I mean, at what point do you forfeit any dignity? I mean, really, what point do you forfeit any dignity? And I don't come across from this sort of, I mean, I'm very women are equal, relationships are equal type of people. But fuck, at what point do you forfeit your dignity? You know what I mean? I would have thrown out that bald, humorless bitch a long time ago. Get the fuck out of here. And take your fucking extra large Spock earrings with you. Relationships should be based on mutual respect. And I'll tell you what, there ain't no mutual respect in our relationship. With her always banging on about Tupac and saying that he was the love of her life, They were talking to one of Tupac's friends, and he said, are you fucking kidding me? He had nothing to do with it. Do you think Tupac would fucking have someone like that on his arm? Put up with that shit? You know, because he was gangster. And he basically said it was all in her fucking fantasy mind, you know, just trying to build something out of nothing for publicity. Now, I've totally moved away from the subject here. I promised myself I wouldn't talk about Will Smith, and yet I did. But anyways, they showed that this study in October 2021 showed that there is a 6% chance of someone being suggested an incel video on YouTube within 5 steps of a non-related video. And there you have it. I mean, it's bringing it all back to YouTube, isn't it? I mean, YouTube is turning our boys, our children, into fucking bitches. Ballless fucking bitches, because that's what Susan wants. I was reading an article in the Times, not that that makes it credible, but that it said that this generation, you know, the kids now growing up, the 12 to 13 year olds, in another 20 years will be ashamed of the snowflake generation. They will look back at them as shameful, like an embarrassment. And they were talking about, I mean, can you imagine the old age homes with these people in there with all their fucking tattoos, tattooed head to bottom, blue hair, fucking all their piercings, bitching about fucking, you know, Black Lives Matter. And they'll be like 70, 80 years old. They'll be senile. It'll be a real fucking mess. But like I said, I don't know. I don't have an answer to it, but it's interesting how something like TikTok, I believe, is slowly corrupting the youth of today. I mean, when their biggest star is this Charlie D'Amelio, I think her name is, and she, you know, she earned like $17.5 million in 2021 alone. And all this girl does is sit around in a fucking bikini doing stupid dance moves, or she'll film herself eating, or she sticks her toes into the camera while she paints her toenails. How is this going to motivate a young woman to grow up to be a doctor or a politician or to do something good for this world when the person you're admiring has the IQ like a notch above a retard and is just a bimbo? You know, and I know people are going to come back and say, oh, Deadbug, that's female empowerment. You know, she's in control. Fuck that shit. You know, and this girl, she supports her whole family. They all live off her. They're all getting their own fucking makeup lines and everything else. And the parents, it's like she's the boss. She buys the houses and they live in them. And, you know, I'm no expert on these sort of things. I just know what I would want from my own kids. $17 million a year or not, I would want more. It's not something, you know, what does your daughter do? Well, she paints her toenails and sticks her feet in the camera. Yeah, okay. Now, before I go, more than a few people have been PMing me and asking me about my podcasts that are being produced by 1159 Media, which are going to go on Spotify and Apple and other podcast platforms. I don't know when they're going up. That's 1159 who are handling it, and they're busy guys. And hopefully soon, but I don't know. It's up to them. And if you don't know who 1159 Media are, go check them out. They're good friends of mine, and they are funny as fuck. And I was a guest co-host on one of their episodes, and I really like them. I'm hoping to do something with Kent soon. We're trying to figure out how. I'm coming up with some ideas, maybe clear our schedules. Like I said, they're busy guys. But stay tuned. Some good stuff coming up. And until next time, everybody have a great Easter. And this is that Bug saying, I'm out of here. Adios.
Yeah. I try to tell you, you ain't ready. Have you ever seen a man not afraid to die? Gave his life for a dream. Born hustler, so the game conceived. A caged beast, but now I'm free. How can you blame me? I was born for this. The game chose me. Now I've been training for this my whole life. Carpe diem, seize the moment, right? Right. We gon' turn up and rock plenty ice. This is our time. Yeah, I'm about that life. I'm a street dude. Teach dudes to think quicker. Would take over the world, but yo, I dream bigger. Never satisfied. I'm trying to be richer and pour out a little bit for those who ain't with us. Ready. Ready. I don't get ready, I stay ready. Cause the consequences is heavy. My man D said he would never quit, even though the thing's heavy. We push like a 7-7 Chevy. Boy, ready, ready. My whole clique since 06 was on the bottom, now we running this. Grind hard when the load gets heavy. The money was slow, but now it's steady. You boys is not
you
ready.
Boys don't want it with us, so stop lying. Show me a dude can, I show you a boy dying. I ain't lying.
We are self-built, self-made, self-sustained.
self-seeker, selfish, yo, I'm trying to get paid. My goons do it in the rain. To be clear, we are not the same. You were born, I was made. You'll spend forever in the grave. We've already spent many moons sipping cool drinks in the shade. Picture me on a stage with 50,000 fans in a riot and a frenzy. Don't cross me, boy. We got a second distant way of coming at you every day until you see it our way. I'm glad we can see eye to eye before somebody had to die. Please don't cry. It's occasionally necessary to push a dude over the ledge so he can come to his head and know that he's not ready. Ready. I don't get ready, I stay ready. Cause the consequences is heavy. My man D said he will never quit. Even though the thing's heavy, we push like a 7-7 Chevy. Boy, ready, ready. My whole clique since 06 was on the bottom, now we running this. Grind hard when the load gets heavy. The money was slow, but now it's steady. You boys is not ready, ready, ready. I don't get ready, I stay ready. Cause the consequences is heavy. My man D said he will never quit. Even though the thing's heavy, we push like a 7-7 Chevy. Boy, ready, ready. My whole clique since 06 was on the bottom, now we running this. Grind hard when the load gets heavy. The money was slow, but now it's steady.